The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
It's Tuesday, Good News Day, and good morning to you. I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, Tuesday of the fifth week of Easter. In the Missal, it's liturgical year B, cycle 2. Tuesday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. And today is the optional memorial of Pope St. Pius V. Pius V was elected in 1566, and he was charged with the task of implementing the sweeping reforms called for by the Council of Trent. He ordered the founding of seminaries for proper training of priests. He published a new missal, a new breviary, a new catechism, and established the confraternity of Christian doctrine classes for the young. Pius zealously enforced legislation against abuses in the church. He patiently served the sick and the poor by building hospitals, providing food for the hungry, and giving money customarily used for the papal banquets to poor Roman converts. His decision to keep wearing his Dominican habit led to the custom to this day of the Pope wearing a white cassock. He spent long hours in prayer, fasted rigorously, deprived himself of many customary papal luxuries, and faithfully observed the spirit of the Dominican rule that he had professed. St. Pius V died in 1572. St. Pius V, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. O Jesus, I come before you at the beginning of this day. I gaze at your face. I look upon your side pierced by the lance. Your wounded heart speaks to me of God's love poured out for us. Take, Lord, and receive my heart, the words of faith that I speak, the works of justice I would do, my joys and sufferings. When I come to the Eucharistic table, gather my offerings to your own for the life of the world. At the end of the day, place me with Mary, your mother, and for her sake, take me to your heart. Amen. And we join Pope Francis in praying that the dignity and immense value of women be recognized in every culture, and for the end of discrimination that they experience in different parts of the world. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon for my sins and for the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Today, in our prayer, I'd like to reflect not just on the gospel of the day, which is our norm when we make these times of prayer together. Jesus, I'd also like to reflect on something from the first reading. In this season of Easter, we're journeying through the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles is a tremendous book, and if it's never something you've done before, it's worth reading it chapter by chapter. It's like an adventure story. And we realize this is the story of our first brothers and sisters in the church. Those first people who made it their life's decision to follow Jesus as Lord. You know, before the Acts of the Apostles, we hear the accounts in the Gospels. Historically, the events in the Gospels come before the events in the Acts of the Apostles. And so in the Gospels, we're hearing people come face to face with Jesus, come heart to heart with Jesus. They embrace or wonder about embracing his teaching. They wonder what his miracles mean. They witness his passion, his death. And we hear of his resurrection. And yet the Acts of the Apostles is the first book, the first series of events, series of witness accounts, series of activities we hear about in which people say, I want to follow Jesus to death, even to death. I'm convinced of this person. I'm convinced of the change he's made in my life. I'm convinced that I want to follow him with everything. Jesus, this is exciting. As we give thanks to you for the lives of those, the apostles, first and foremost, we see the apostles making journeys and preaching and making disciples. But then we see new disciples. We see disciples being spawned, as it were. You know, when the preaching of the gospel creates new disciples. And then others go away and want to spread the faith. We think of Barnabas. We think of Timothy. We think of Lydia. All these names that we're maybe not so familiar with, we hear about in Acts of the Apostles onwards. St. Paul. You know, Paul doesn't appear anywhere in the Gospels. And yet he appears, his conversion takes place, having been someone who fought against Christianity. He appears as this great witness to Jesus, to you, my Lord. And so Acts of the Apostles is an exciting chapter in our Christian history. Some call it the book of the Holy Spirit, that actually, although it's the apostles and their disciples who are doing so many missionary journeys and preachings and healings and miracles, although that's what we see making up the chapters of Acts of the Apostles, actually, underneath all of that, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the protagonist of mission. Whenever you and I feel prompted to move in a particular direction, to move closer to Jesus, to move our friends closer to Jesus, to perhaps to make some change in our life, to respond to the call of God in our lives, this is all the work of the Holy Spirit. And that book of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostles, is, we could say, the first place in the scriptures where we see primarily the Spirit at work. And so just a word I want to take from that passage that we hear today from the Acts of the Apostles. So we're reading the Acts every day through Eastertide, unless it's a feast day or something different. Otherwise, we'll be hearing Acts of the Apostles until the day of Pentecost in a few weeks' time. And so we hear today about Paul. Paul has been preaching to some Jews in Iconium, one of the Jewish towns, and they hate what he's saying. They stone him, they drag him out of the town, and they think he's dead. This is really serious. This is a really serious account. Jesus, we're reading about Paul, perhaps the greatest missionary preacher ever, one of the greatest saints ever, one of the greatest conversion stories in the history of the church, the history of your disciples. And yet here he is, midway through his mission. Perhaps his mission hasn't even really begun, and he's stoned to the point of, they think, death. And then St. Luke, who is the author of the Acts of the Apostles, adds this detail. He says, and he rose up and went back to the town. And then the next day, he and Barnabas go to Derbe, to another town, presumably to carry on their missionary work. This scene I'd just like to stay with. This scene I'd just like to stay with in our prayer. Because our prayer is an opportunity to wonder, what's going on? How can I apply this? How can I apply this to myself? To be stoned, we could see as an opportunity to be discouraged, ridiculed, insulted, mocked, hurt, betrayed. Any means by which we suffer at the hands of another. And if, like me, you can bring moments to mind where you felt wounded by the words, the actions, sometimes the inaction and the silence of those around us, those we long to hear something from and it just didn't come and it hurt us. If, like me, you can call those moments to mind, St. Paul's life offers us a detail that we don't want to ignore. And it's that simple word from St. Paul. He got up and went back to the town. In another translation of English, it says he rose up. And the Greek word being translated there is the word anastas, a really important word in the life of a disciple of Jesus, because it's an important word in the life of Jesus. Anastasia is the word resurrection. That's what happened to Jesus on Easter morning. He rose. This is the whole point of the Christian life. It's to rise up. It's to rise again. It's to allow ourselves to be risen. How easy it is when someone has offended me, by any means whatsoever. You and I live different lives and different things will hurt us. But Jesus, we're all speaking to you in this moment. And you know my heart. You know where it is. I am vulnerable. I'm sometimes a little bit sensitive, perhaps a bit oversensitive. And it's very easy not to rise up. It's very easy to stay crushed in that moment and to think, well, you don't appreciate me, or that's it. That's it. I'm not going back there. Or even perhaps questioning ourselves. You know, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm a nobody when it comes to discipleship. Maybe I should just give this whole thing up. Maybe, you know, I should never have got into that conversation in the first place, or I should never have mentioned the name of Jesus because that led to problems. And this thing of discouragement can really kill our apostolic zeal. And the virtue that's being offered to us in moments like this is, we could call it the virtue of resilience. Resilience in many ways is a human quality, not simply a virtue. It's not a spiritual thing in itself. It's a human quality. But it's trained in these little things and can become the key to our holiness. You know, I don't want to exaggerate that too much, but Jesus, it's true. If I'm a bit soft, if I'm soft when it comes to the knocks that come my way as a disciple of yours, it's going to be hard to persevere. It is hard to persevere. So resilience is an opportunity to say, I want to almost laugh it off. You know, St. Paul, it's almost like he's laughing when he gets up from this stoning, serious, serious stoning. I mean, they think he's dead. This is a serious event in his life. He gets up, shakes it off, and goes back to the fray. St. Jose Maria Escrivá says that when we have resilient characters, it's not just that we become masters over ourselves. We don't just have self-mastery. It's also that through that virtue, we become leaders to others. We become leaders to others to say, no, this will not keep me down. This discouragement, this failure, this hurt, this betrayal, perhaps something serious, will not keep me down. This will not water down my apostolic joy, my love for Jesus, for his name, for my mission, for my vocation. In fact, it will strengthen me. I'll allow this moment to strengthen me. So where I feel, Jesus, that those moments hurt, wound, weigh me down, suppress me or oppress me, help me to fight, as St. Paul did, with the virtue of resilience, with the grace of resurrection, Anastas, and to know that that is you forming me, if I allow it, to become, in your kingdom, a leader of other souls. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
There's a lot more of 10 Minutes with Jesus just waiting for you to find it at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. This liturgical day begins in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Tuesday of the fifth week of Easter. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We begin this day of prayer joining with the whole church and all the angels and saints as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. come before him, singing for joy.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us, we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Go within his gates giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
The Lord is just. He will defend the poor. Alleluia.
The Lord is just. He will defend the poor. Alleluia.
Lord, why do you stand afar off and hide yourself in times of distress? The poor man is devoured by the pride of the wicked. He is caught in the schemes that others have made. For the wicked man boasts of his heart's desires. The covetous blasphemes and spurns the Lord. In his pride, the wicked says, "He will not punish. There is no God." Such are his thoughts. His path is ever untroubled. Your judgment is far from his mind. His enemies he regards with contempt, he thinks, "Never shall I falter. Misfortune shall never be my lot." His mouth is full of cursing, guile, oppression, mischief, and deceit under his tongue. He lies in wait among the reeds. The innocent he murders in secret. His eyes are on watch for the helpless man. He lurks in hiding like a lion in his lair. He lurks in hiding to seize the poor. He seizes the poor man and drags him away. He crouches, preparing to spring, and the helpless fall beneath his strength. He thinks in his heart, "God forgets." He hides his face. He does not see.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is just. He will defend the poor. Alleluia.
Lord, you know the burden of my sorrow. Alleluia.
Lord, you know the burden of my sorrow. Alleluia.
Arise then, Lord, lift up your hand. O God, do not forget the poor. Why should the wicked spurn the Lord and think in his heart, "He will not punish"? But you have seen the trouble and sorrow. You note it. You take it in hand. The helpless trusts himself to you, for you are the helper of the orphan. Break the power of the wicked and the sinner. Punish his wickedness till nothing remains. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen shall perish from the land he rules. Lord, you hear the prayer of the poor. You strengthen their hearts. you turn your ear to protect the rights of the orphan and oppressed, so that mortal man may strike terror no more.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Rise up, Lord, in defense of your people. Do not hide your face from our troubles. Father of orphans, wealth of the poor, we rejoice in making you known. May we find comfort and security in times of pain and anxiety.
Lord, you know the burden of my sorrow. Alleluia.
The words of the Lord are true, like silver from the furnace. Alleluia.
The words of the Lord are true, like silver from the furnace.
Alleluia.
Help, O Lord, for good men have vanished. Truth has gone from the sons of men. Falsehood they speak to one another, with lying lips and with a false heart. May the Lord destroy all lying lips, the tongue that speaks high-sounding words, those who say, "Our tongue is our strength." Our lips are our own. Who is our master? For the poor who are oppressed and the needy who groan, I myself will arise, says the Lord. I will grant them the salvation for which they thirst. The words of the Lord are words without alloy, silver from the furnace, seven times refined. It is you, O Lord, who will take us in your care and protect us forever from this generation. See how the wicked prowl on every side, while the worthless are prized highly by the sons of men.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Your light is true light, Lord, and your truth shines like the day. Direct us to the salvation through your life-giving words. May we be saved by always embracing your word.
The words of the Lord are true, like silver from the furnace.
Alleluia.
Christ risen from the dead will never die again. Alleluia.
Death no longer has power over him. Alleluia.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, saw an angel come down from heaven, holding the key to the abyss and a huge chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and chained him up for 1,000 years. The angel hurled him into the abyss, which he closed and sealed over him. He did this so that the dragon might not lead the nations astray until the 1,000 years are over. After this, the dragon is to be released for a short time. Then I saw some thrones. Those who were sitting on them were in power to pass judgment. I also saw the spirits of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and the Word of God, those who had never worshipped the beast or its image, nor accepted its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life again and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The others who were dead did not come to life till the 1,000 years were over. This is the first resurrection. Happy and holy are they who share in the first resurrection. The second death will have no claim on them. They shall serve God and Christ as priests and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison. He will go out to seduce the nations in all four corners of the earth and muster for war the troops of Gog and Magog, numerous as the sands of the sea. They invaded the whole country and surrounded the beloved city where God's people were encamped. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. The devil who led them astray was hurled into the pool of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had also been thrown. There they will be tortured day and night, forever and ever. Next, I saw a large white throne and the one who sat on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence until they could no longer be seen. I saw the dead, the great and the lowly, standing before the throne. Lastly, among the scrolls, the book of the living was opened. The dead were judged according to their conduct, as recorded on the scrolls. The sea gave up its dead. Then death and the netherworld gave up their dead. Each person was judged according to his conduct. Then death and the netherworld were hurled into the pool of fire, which is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found inscribed in the book of the living was hurled into this pool of fire.
Christ must reign until God has brought all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Alleluia. Then death and Sheol will give up their dead. Death and Sheol will be cast into the fiery lake. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Alleluia.
The second reading from a commentary on the Gospel of John by Saint Cyril of Alexandria, Bishop. The Lord calls himself the vine and those united to him branches, in order to teach us how much we shall benefit from our union with him, and how important it is for us to remain in his love. By receiving the Holy Spirit, who is the bond of union between us and Christ our Savior, those who are joined to him, as branches are to a vine, share in his own nature. On the part of those who come to the vine, their union with him depends upon a deliberate act of the will. On his part, the union is affected by grace. Because we had good will, we made the act of faith that brought us to Christ and received from him the dignity of adopted sonship that made us his own kinsmen. According to the words of St. Paul, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The prophet Isaiah calls Christ the foundation because it is upon him that we as living and spiritual stones are built into a holy priesthood to be a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. Upon no other foundation than Christ can this temple be built. Here, Christ is teaching the same truth by calling himself the vine, since the vine is the parent of its branches and provides their nourishment. From Christ and in Christ, we have been reborn through the Spirit in order to bear the fruit of life, not the fruit of our old sinful life, but the fruit of a new life founded upon our faith in him and our love for him. Like branches growing from a vine, we now draw our life from Christ, and we cling to this holy commandment in order to preserve this life. Eager to safeguard the blessing of our noble birth, we are careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and who makes us aware of God's presence in us. Let the wisdom of John teach us how we live in Christ and Christ lives in us. The proof that we are living in him and he is living in us is that he has given us a share in his Spirit. Just as the trunk of the vine gives its own natural properties to each of its branches, so by bestowing on them the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, gives Christians a certain kinship with himself and with God the Father because they have been united to him by faith and determination to do his will in all things. He helps them to grow in love, and reverence for God, and teaches them to discern right from wrong and to act with integrity.
Live in me as I live in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself apart from the vine, so you cannot bear fruit unless you live on in me. Alleluia. I chose you to go out and bear fruit, a fruit that will last. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself apart from the vine, so you cannot bear fruit unless you live on in me. Alleluia.
Father, you restored your people to eternal life by raising Christ your Son from death. Make our faith strong and our hope sure. May we never doubt that you will fulfill the promises you have made. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
As we wind our way towards Pentecost, the Lord is saying farewell to his apostles and gives them something very special. It's in today's gospel in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Tuesday of the fifth week of Easter. I'm Paul Sadek, and in today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, you can tell that we're moving towards something just by the readings themselves. And that something is Pentecost. The Lord is saying farewell to his apostles, and he offers them his peace. It's from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, you'll find daily and Sunday Mass readings on the Relevant Radio app. Well, there's a great deal to be said for the greeting, Peace be with you. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. The Gospel of today's Mass relates one of the promises our Lord made to his apostles at the Last Supper, a promise which became a reality after the resurrection. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Later on at the same supper, he repeated, I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, after the resurrection, our Lord stands in the midst of the apostles and says to them, Peace be with you. Our Lord would have spoken those words with that same warm voice of his which the apostles knew so well. His friendly greeting dispelled the fear and the shame the apostles felt after the cowardly way they had behaved during his passion. Our Lord's greeting and his warm expression recreates that personal atmosphere in which he communicates his peace to them. To wish one another peace was the way Jews usually greeted one another. The apostles continued this custom, as we see in their letters, and so did the early Christians, as can be seen in many inscriptions dating back to that period. The Church uses the same greeting in the liturgy on certain occasions. Before Holy Communion, for example, the priest wishes peace to the people because peace is a prerequisite in order to share worthily in the Holy Sacrifice, the peace of the Lord. Over the centuries, Christians put more meaning into their words of greeting, making them more spiritual. Supernatural outlook permeated the lives of the people, and its positive influence can be seen in generation after generation. Those greetings are an external sign of a society which had a Christian heart. In today's world, we seem to be losing that supernatural outlook in the greetings we use, but it could be very helpful to our interior life to try to give a Christian tone to our greetings of welcome and farewell. It would add to our sense of the presence of God in our lives. If we develop the habit, for example, of greeting the guardian angel of the people we meet, it will be easier for us to raise our dealings with them to a higher level. It would be a consequence of the presence of God dwelling in our soul. Let us strive not to lose supernatural outlook in the ordinary things of each day. "Peace be with you," our Lord said to them. In the words of St. Gregory Nazianzen, we should be ashamed if we are not using that greeting of peace which our Lord left us when he was about to depart from this world. But whatever our normal greeting may be, it can always be an occasion to live our fraternity with others better, to pray for them, and to bring them peace and joy as our Lord did with his disciples. "For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy." This joy of Elizabeth reminds us of what a treasure a greeting is when it comes from a heart which is filled with God. How often the shadows of loneliness engulfing a soul can be blown away in the light and warmth of a smile or of a pleasant word. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers, and you'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. Let's continue praying now as we join the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
The one who came down from heaven has ascended above all the heavens. Alleluia.
The one who came down from heaven has ascended above all the heavens. Alleluia.
The Lord's is the earth and its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless thing, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob.
O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. King of glory, Lord of power and might, cleanse our hearts from all sin. Preserve the innocence of our hands, and keep our minds from vanity, so that we may deserve your blessing in your holy place.
The one who came down from heaven has ascended above all the heavens. Alleluia.
Keep this day a festival day, and give praise to the Lord. Alleluia.
Keep this day as a festival day, and give praise to the Lord. Alleluia.
Blessed be God who lives forever because his kingdom lasts for all ages.
For he scourges and then has mercy. He casts down to the depths of the nether world, and he brings up from the great abyss. No one can escape his hand.
Praise him, you Israelites, before the Gentiles. For though he has scattered you among them, he has shown you his greatness even there.
Exalt him before every living being, because he is the Lord our God, our Father and God forever.
He scourged you for your iniquities, but will again have mercy on you all. He will gather you from all the Gentiles among whom you have been scattered.
When you turn back to him with all your heart to do what is right before him, then he will turn back to you and no longer hide his face from you.
So now consider what he has done for you, and praise him with full voice. Bless the Lord of righteousness, and exalt the King of all the ages.
In the land of my exile, I praise him, and show his power and majesty to a sinful nation. Turn back, you sinners, do the right before him. Perhaps he may look with favor upon you and show you mercy.
As for me, I exalt my God, and my spirit rejoices in the King of heaven. Let all men speak of his majesty and sing his praises in Jerusalem.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Keep this day as a festival day, and give praise to the Lord. Alleluia.
The mercy of the Lord fills the earth. Alleluia.
The mercy of the Lord fills the earth. Alleluia.
Ring out your joy to the Lord, O you just, for praise is fitting for loyal hearts. Give thanks to the Lord upon the harp. With a 10-string lute, sing him songs. O sing him a song that is new. Play loudly, play with all your skill. For the word of the Lord is faithful, and all his works to be trusted. The Lord loves justice and right, and fills the earth with his love. By his word the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth all the stars. He collects the waves of the ocean, he stores up the depths of the sea. Let all the earth fear the Lord. All who live in the world revere him. He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, it sprang into being. He frustrates the designs of the nations. He defeats the plans of the peoples. His own designs shall stand forever, the plans of his heart from age to age. They are happy whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own. From the heavens the Lord looks forth. He sees all the children of men. From the place where he dwells, he gazes on all the dwellers of the earth. He who shapes the hearts of them all and considers all their deeds. A king is not saved by his army, nor a warrior preserved by his strength. A vain hope for safety is the horse. Despite its power, it cannot save. The Lord looks on those who revere him, on those who hope in his love, to rescue their souls from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul is waiting for the Lord. The Lord is our help and our shield. In him do our hearts find joy. We trust in his holy name. May your love be upon us, O Lord, as we place all our hope in you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Nourish your people, Lord, for we hunger for your word. Rescue us from the death of sin and fill us with your mercy, that we may share your presence and the joys of all the saints.
The mercy of the Lord fills the earth. Alleluia.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. God raised Jesus from the dead, and for many days thereafter, Jesus appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. These are his witnesses now before the people. We ourselves announce to you the good news that what God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, in raising up Jesus, according to what is written in the second psalm. You are my son. This day I have begotten you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
He hung upon the cross for us.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
Peace I leave with you. Alleluia. Peace is my gift to you. Alleluia.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Peace I leave with you. Alleluia. Peace is my gift to you. Alleluia. By his own power, Christ raised up the temple of his body when it had been destroyed in death. With joy, let us ask him,
Lord, share with us the fruits of your victory.
Christ our Savior, when you rose again, you brought to the holy women and the apostles the joyful news of a world redeemed.
Make us witnesses to your risen life.
Lord, share with us the fruits of your victory. You promised to all people that we would rise up again to newness of life.
Make us heralds of your gospel.
Lord, share with us the fruits of your victory. You showed yourself to your apostles and breathed the Holy Spirit on them.
Renew in us the presence of the same Creator Spirit.
Lord, share with us the fruits of your victory. You promised to be with your disciples to the end of the world.
Stay with us today, and remain with us always.
Lord, share with us the fruits of your victory.
And now let us pray as the Lord told us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
O God, who restore us to eternal life in the resurrection of Christ, grant your people constancy in faith and hope, that we may never doubt the promises of which we have learned from you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Morning Air is coming right up with John and Glenn. Patrick Madrid is along as usual a bit later on this morning. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's get together again tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. Go out, make it a great day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.